You are listening to Ron Van Dam, America's favorite grumpy old fart.
I'm fed up to here with your crap.
I'm not sure if he's talking to me or all of us. It's probably all of us. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
All right, that's enough.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It is. It's not? What do you mean it's not? Yes, it is. Look, I'm arguing with myself. This is fantastic. I'm having a relationship with myself. You know, young people walk around saying, I've got to find myself. I've got to find myself. I know where you are. You're right there. Case closed. Go do something else. I have to know in life who I am. Who am I really? You're you. You're annoying. Go away. I've got to make something of myself. I've got to make something of myself. All right. Draw a picture of yourself and show it to yourself. What's your problem? Enough theme music. We get it. You have a show. You've got theme music. We get it. Welcome to the program. This will take about half an hour, and then you'll be released on a work release program. You'll be shackled at the ankle until you admit that you've made a mistake. Today, I want to talk about the legal system. And why do I want to talk about that? Because our lives now are encompassed by the legal system. I'll tell you what gets me mad, and I've said this many times on the program, I don't think that the legal system is fair. If you have no money and you're accused of something, you have no money to defend yourself. It's very expensive to defend yourself properly. Sure, the courts give you this legal aid thing. It's usually some guy named Bob who's it's his first year, and the only thing he's really worked on legally is trying to buy a fish in a fish store and legally adopt it in a tank. No experience. If you have a lot of money and you're rich, then you can hire a legal team that can probably get you out of most things or at least reduce the charges. If you have no money, you're screwed up, you're a little asshole, and you know that's the fact. That's how the legal system is fair. Case in point, Donald Trump. Accused of stuff. I mean, I know he did it because I heard the tapes and I saw the stuff. My eyes and my ears don't deceive me. I ain't stupid. No matter how much you try to deceive me and pull the wool over my eyes, I know what I saw, I know what I heard. It's enough evidence for me. No, you're a schmuck. So, no. But because he's got all these lawyers and can pay his way out of things, that's the legal system. Thank you very much. Also, if somebody else were indicted for something, their trial would come up quite quickly, certainly within a few weeks, if not a few months. no matter how big the trial. But here in Donald Trump's case, he was indicted about a month ago or a couple of weeks ago, whatever. And his lawyers are proposing a trial date of late 2026. I mean, that's like two and a half years from now. Are you freaking kidding me? If he didn't have that team of attorneys, even that's got balls. And of course, you know, that's not going to happen. But still, you can put the trial off like for a year. Come on. Something as serious as this, when democracy could be hanging in the balance? Well, do it in 2.5 years. I got a dental appointment Thursday. I can't. I'm busy doing my work. He's running for president, Donald Trump. Did you know that? Of course you knew it. So he says he's busy doing that. I'm very, very busy. Okay, so you do something that you're accused of doing quite illegally to the point where the evidence is pretty convincing without question because a grand jury, yeah. I mean, I've heard the evidence. I've seen the evidence for 2 years now. Who are you trying to kid? This has nothing to do with his political views. It has to do with the way what happened here. I mean, seriously, you know, if you had a job and you were indicted for something and you said, well, I can't go to court. I have a job. They'd say, were you serious? I mean, come on. The legal system is screwed. And I'll tell you something. It's just disgusting. You can, anyway. I have a few friends and acquaintances and contacts outside of this country, mainly in Europe. And whenever we talk on the phone, which is a very expensive prospect, they say, "What the hell's going on over there in your country with your legal system? Why does it take so long to do your stuff? If you got the evidence, why don't you just go to trial right away?" Well, the defense has to prepare. How long does it take to prepare? A year? Seriously? Do nothing else. Do this day and night. You should be ready in 2 weeks. What's your problem? Well, we don't know what all the evidence is. Well, you'll find out. I mean, come on. Anyway, on a lighter note, there are lawsuits that are incredibly frivolous. I live in the Boston area. Thank you very much. Hold your applause to the end of the program. I live near a place called Rhode Island. They seem to have, all their commercials are for legal things, are all for slip and fall accidents, all these kinds of frivolous lawsuits. I mean, it's incredible. Auto accidents, slip and fall, I don't like your face. I mean, they sue for everything, and there's tons of lawyers there. And this is their major product in Rhode Island. Here's something that happened in Boston, though. This is this story broke about like 3 weeks ago. There's a the Boston's Prudential Center, which is a skyscraper there in Boston. There's a lot of restaurants and shops there on the first floor. The Boston's Prudential Center was named in a lawsuit. A New Hampshire woman said she was injured when she slipped on a piece of meat. Now, these things happen. What happened was Alice Cohen... Hi, Alice. Said she was walking in an area of the Eataly. It's, I guess that's a restaurant. I really don't know. This Eataly restaurant there on the promenade deck of the Prudential Tower offered samples in October. And apparently one of the samples fell on the floor, and Alice Cohen, a passerby, says she slipped on a piece of prosciutto, fell and fractured her ankle. I have been saying for years and years publicly, you've got to watch out for falling prosciuttos. They can ruin your life forever. Do you want to end up in a wheelchair? Stay away from fallen prosciuttos. 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 Those are little pieces of Italian ham, and they are deadly. They're wonderful when you eat them, but when they fall on the floor and you walk over them, they will kill you. Fortunately, Alice Cohen only fractured her ankle. It could have been worse. Prosciutto should be illegal in most states. Alice Cohen and her husband, Ronald Cohen, Alice and Ronald, they're seeking at least $50,000 in damages. Italy, the restaurant or whatever it is, has not commented on the lawsuit. What are they supposed to say? I would assume that if the lady slipped on a piece of prosciutto, she wasn't looking where she was going, first of all. And secondly, perhaps now the prosciutto will be seized and put to death. We've got to put the prosciutto down. All right, that's enough. So the stupid prosciutto story, man. But that's our law system, ladies and gentlemen. She's suing. I don't know what's going to happen. Nobody does. All right, here's a Michigan woman from Michigan, ladies and gentlemen. She was late on her payments for a 2008 Pontiac G6. Come on, Michigan woman. She could make her payments on the 2008 Pontiac G6 she had previously leased. The company, Ally Financial Incorporated, repossessed her car, of course, taking the gas and the gas tank with them. What? What, are you supposed to siphon out the gas when you repossess a car? I don't think so. Victoria Jean Church Dellinger, it's a long name, she decided to sue Ally Financial for $5 million. That's some expensive gas, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know where she gets her gas from. It's a Sunoco station or a Mobil station, I don't know. But I guess the price of gas really went up in Michigan. She's suing for $5 million over the remaining gas left in the vehicle, claiming it was her personal property. Yeah, I guess she paid for it, but not $5 million. The case is still open. However, it's looking more like she'll be receiving less than $30 for the entire amount of gas located in the tank. This needs to be brought to court. And where does a lady get off suing for $5 million? That's a frivolous lawsuit. You're wasting the court's time. That should be punishable by death. Here's another story. Microwave popcorn. This person, Wayne Watson, has a habit. He makes popcorn at home in the microwave. Microwave popcorn, we're familiar with that stuff. Watson was preparing his microwave popcorn in the microwave. Apparently, he has a habit there of eating two microwave popcorn things every day. It's a little much, but okay, Wayne. Apparently, the fumes that he inhaled from his two-bag-a-day habit caused him to experience lung problems, ladies and gentlemen, and he later sued the Glister Mary Lee, I don't know what that is, and the grocery store that sold the popcorn to him, and the entire chain of grocery stores, including Dillon Foods and Kroger. He's suing them for $7 million because of his lung damage from the popcorn gas that came out of the microwave popcorn bag or something. Here's the kicker, ladies and gentlemen. The $7 million lawsuit ended up in his favor. He won it. And the additive that was exposed that came out of the bag and caused his lung issues were eradicated from the microwave popcorn. They agreed with that, the courts did. No matter, Watson refuses to ever use microwave popcorn anymore. He's going to do it on the stovetop. Like, that doesn't have gas coming out of it, too. I don't quite understand that, but he won his $7 million lawsuit. Stupid. I don't know how bad his lung problem was, but he must have proven that it came from the bag. I mean, maybe he smokes like 10 packs of cigarettes a day as well. I don't know. Here's a story I don't understand. This is back in 1995. Robert Lee Brock is the person of interest here. Brock never was diagnosed with any mental problems, certainly not with a split personality, yet he attempted to sue himself while he was a prisoner of the state. He was in prison, and he decided to sue himself. He made the claim on the grounds that he violated his religious beliefs. What? Because he has a split personality. One of his personalities was taunting the other personality in the same person. Which he was arrested because he was a little crazy. Of course, being a ward of the state, he was smart, and he knew that if he did the lawsuit and sued himself, that the state would have to pay for it because he's technically in the care of the state. Yeah, well, that didn't work out. The suit was dismissed in court, and Brock is still behind bars with a split personality. He sued himself, ladies and gentlemen, while he was a prisoner. Okay, here's a weird one. This is very, very weird and how frivolous this all is. Bud Light, you've heard of that beer, of course. In their advertisements, their television commercials, their magazine advertisements, they show ice-cold beer, which is the Bud Light, and these scorchingly hot babes standing around the guy drinking the beer. Rather sexist advertisement, but this is the way it worked. This is back in 1991. This is a Michigan guy, another Michigan person. What's up with you people in Michigan? This guy in Michigan sued Anheuser-Busch because he didn't receive the product as advertised, as he claimed. Richard Overton sued the Anheuser-Busch Corporation on grounds that the Bud Light that he consumed did not carry him away to a paradise like showed in the magazine article. Showed a guy drinking a beer on a beach with a paradise thing with these hot babes standing behind him. He also said that when he drank the beer, it didn't come with beautiful women. As the advertisement had advertised. With his claims, Overton added that his suffering of emotional distress, financial loss, and mental injury. He sued for $10,000. He was awarded nothing. He lost the case. It was dismissed by the courts. Of course it was. The last one I'm going to talk about today is one that most of us are familiar with because we remember this lawsuit because it was quite a popular one. This was a woman named Stella Liebach, L-I-E-B-A-C-K. Liebach, this is back in 1992. Stella went to a McDonald's, ordered a coffee, as some people do at McDonald's. But the coffee was served way too hot in that little paper cup. And she spilled the coffee because the cup was too hot all over herself, which resulted in seriously horrible burns. She spent 8 days in the hospital, had multiple surgeries, skin grafts in order to get her stuff back together. And then she went to McDonald's and said, this is what happened. Can you pay my medical bills that I'm out this money for medical bills and surgeries and skin grafts and plastic surgeons? And McDonald's said, no, we're not doing that. So Stella turned around and sued McDonald's for $2.9 million. Hey, $2.9 million, let's call it $3 million. What the hell? All right, she really suffered. But the question was, who's responsible? She dropped the cup. I mean, she picked up the hot coffee and she's, no, it was handed to me like that. Well, she won the case, but she didn't get $3 million. She got $640,000, which about covered her medical bills and a little bit of her pain and suffering. So McDonald's, I think you might remember that case because it was fairly famous at the time. And those are just some of the crazy things that go on, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. You've just now fulfilled your jury duty by listening to me talk about this for 20 minutes. All right, I have an interesting guest coming up momentarily, a first day commercial break, and then, well, you know what.
Gentlemen, have you ever been in the mood for a nice knish, or maybe bagel and a schmear, but you're also in the mood for some exotic dancing? You can't find those in the same place. Until now. I'm Moishe Kaufman, inviting you to come visit us at Moishe's Knish and Strippers, the area's first genuine kosher deli and titty bar. Come in and rock out with your locks out and check out our dancers. These girls are so nice, you'll plots, and they're all certified kosher. Maybe not the kind of girl you bring home to mother, but once you see Delia fold a dollar bill without using her hands, you won't care what mom thinks. Look, Bubby, you're in a strip club. That alone is enough to kill her. So live a little. Every Thursday, don't miss our buns and brisket buffet from noon to 6. Moishe's Knish and Strippers is closed on the Sabbath. Hey, we might be a little unorthodox, but we're not heathens.
Hi, Catherine. How are you?
Good. How are you, Ron?
I'm great. Good to talk to you again. You're one of my favorite guests because the stuff you talk about, I love. So here we go.
That's great to hear.
Catherine Williams is editor extraordinaire for National Geographic Kids. And I gave you a new title, by the way. It's extraordinaire. Do you like that?
I love it. Okay. I actually want to get my official job title changed to that.
Yes, you should. You should. A little French, a little, you know, nice. It's a nice thing. Anyway, it's National Geographic Kids Weird But True 2024. We talk so much about the strange things that are going on in the animal world and the human world and the fascination location world, everything like that. This seems like a conglomeration of all that. Is that true?
Yes, this is a pretty big book with a lot of photos, a lot of facts, all about the weirdest, wackiest, most awe-inspiring things in the world. So we go continent from continent all the way to Antarctica, into the ocean and space, and we have a collection of all the world's weirdest stuff in all those places.
It works because we are all attracted to things that are not normal, like everything. And the world is a fascinating place, but we know that. But when we get examples of the strange things that go on in all these kingdoms and locations, it's fascinating. And I've said this 1,000 times, Catherine, and I think a couple of thousand to you. This might be National Geographic Kids, but it's not just for kids. It's for everybody. I love this stuff.
Oh, yeah. I learned all kinds of new things working on this book, and I work on all kinds of books about animals and the world, and even still, I'm always surprised at what weird stuff we can find.
Because it's also a conversational piece. You know, you talk about it with other people, and they get involved in the conversation, and it's a great way for parents to do things with their kids and vice versa, or kids to discover on their own. It's got everything going for it. Technically, what is the age group for the book?
So this book is targeting middle school kids. So 8 to 12 year olds is our sweet spot. But
That's me.
A lot of photos for younger kids.
That's me. It's my age. Very good. Okay.
That's how I feel as well. Sometimes.
Yeah. Okay. This book kind of makes me feel younger. It's like wonderment is just for everybody, but especially for kids. Okay, let's run through some of the interesting things that happen in the book in order to tantalize our listeners.
Sure. So I can give you some of my favorites. So we have a mixture of like really awe-inspiring things with beautiful photos and then some sillier things. And so some of my favorite silly things this year are the weird sports section in the Europe chapter. We have extreme ironing. So we have a photo of someone ironing clothes while scuba diving.
What?
The irony, I think, is just for show. I don't think they're actually plugged it in, but there are people who go and try to iron in weirder and weirder locations. So people have done it underwater, bungee jumping, on mountains, water skiing, etc. So that one is very fun. And on the same page, we have pumpkin paddling, which is folks who carve out, hollow out giant pumpkins and sit inside of them and use them as canoes and race in them.
Oh, wow.
So some very funny, silly, weird stuff.
Wow. Yeah. Animals, and you've done editions about this, but animals are amazing. Just when you think that you've known every kind of animal, every kind of species, these weird-looking creatures show up like from another planet. And you got some of those in there.
Yeah. One of my favorites is something called a leaf sheep, which the writers brought to me, and I had actually never seen it before. It's a tiny creature. It's only 0.4 inches long. It looks like it has a sheep's head, though. It's a white head with little black dots for eyes and horns, and then it looks like it has woolly fur, but it's made out of green leaves, and it's actually a sea slug. So it does look shockingly like a cartoon sheep, but really tiny, and it's a sea slug that grazes on algae, and that's where its bright green color comes from.
Oh my god. As editor, you must go through like thousands of different interesting things.
Yeah, we go through a lot of different things, and it's kind of a balance. So some things we cut because maybe they're not weird enough or we've used them a lot previously, but sometimes we're just trying to get a diverse sampling of weird stuff from around the world. Yeah. So we want to make sure that we have as many places as possible in the book.
Yeah.
And I do feel like a lot of my job is saying, like, that's not weird enough. Let's find something weirder.
Wow. Does your head ever explode? That would be weird.
Not yet.
Okay, not yet.
That would be weird.
Next Thursday, probably. I've heard about a volcano that people actually surf on. I don't understand what happens there.
There's a volcano in Nicaragua called Cerro Negro, and people can rent sleds and board down the side of the volcano. So when the volcano erupted, part of it was covered in this volcanic ash, which people found out it turned out to be good for sledding. seems like people will find a way, if it's possible to sled on something, to do that. Wow. So they started with mattresses and things like that. But now you can rent a sled and sled down it. We recommend for adults only and people who are braver than I am. But they put on jumpsuits, goggles, and hop on a sled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, getting ash in your lungs is a lot of fun, I guess.
I don't know.
It's kind of a weird thing. People do the weirdest things. What is it about the things, weird things, that attracts people to getting involved in these things?
Yeah, it is funny to see one thing, like when I work on this, you can really see around the world what people have in common is like the weird ways they entertain themselves and others, and the kind of just silly things people do. I think that it's fun. Weird stuff also just changes the way you feel about things, changes what feels real in life. So it's cool to get something that kind of shakes you out of your normal way of thinking about things, I think.
That is what it is. You think about the unexplored, and it just, it takes you out of the two dimensions and it puts you into like 10 dimensions. It's incredible. And you even get into things that are off the planet itself, I understand.
Yeah, so we have after we go through all the continents, we go through we have weird stuff from the ocean, and then we have weird stuff in outer space. So we have some very cool photos of nebulas and stars and things like that. But we also have things like pranks that astronauts have played in the International Space Station. So we have somebody who brought a gorilla suit onto the International Space Station and floated around. And things like that.
I think that's the last place I want to be pranked would be in this International Space Station.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, it's kind of serious up here. What are you doing? All right.
Yeah, I'll leave the volcano boarding and the astronaut
to somebody else. To somebody else. It's weird but true. It's a weird but true world 2024. And that's what it is. It's available everywhere at this point?
Yeah, Yes, online, brick-and-mortar bookstores. You can find it in all places books are sold.
Wonderful, wonderful. And, of course, also you can go to the National Geographic Kids website. I assume there's probably 50 of those.
But so you can go to kids.nationalgeographic.com
okay.
and play games, learn things about animals.
Great. And don't forget, there's a whole series of these books. I mean, so it's not just one. It's pick them all up, but this seems to be the Bible here. Catherine, mm-hmm. always a pleasure speaking to you. I'm sure we'll do it in the future, and continued success, and thanks for bringing this to us. All right, that'll do it for me today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new program, but until that time arrives, I wish you peace.